Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Acts. This is chapter 19 with 41 verses. Translation, part 12 of spiritual warfare. We also have a couple of letters to read here, one from the United States, another one from Africa. Right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this service, to anoint it with his outward anointing. Lord, we thank you for our life, the inward life that you've given us, the life that is permanent, the life that is eternal. All of us, everything in this world that you created that has life, has temporal life, but because of your Holy Spirit, the only Spirit, because of you, the only Spirit that has permanent life, when we ask you to come into us, you come into us and give us, mingle your eternal life spirit with our temporal life spirit, which gives us immortal life so long as we continue on leaning all the time more towards your permanent, eternal, immortal life spirit than our own temporal life. Because life is you. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father without me, the permanent life, the eternal immortal life living in them. And so we all must be filled with your life to the fullness of the stature of Christ in order for us to be a member of Christ's body. All this makes such good sense. Lord, we just praise and thank you for it. So we ask, Lord, that your word is what gives us more and more permanent, eternal, immortal life. So therefore, you've commanded us all to stay in your word, to read it all the time, because when we're reading your word, we're reading you. We get to know you. We get to know how wonderful you are, and that you don't, you're not a lawless God. You're a God of law, that you do have a death penalty for those that murder people. And of course, you said, let every man be a liar, but let God be the truth. Man, there is nothing in man but corruption. But when they get away from you, Lord, they are nothing. And we ask, Lord, that you, through your word, which is infallible, and I found that to be true, that you'll open up people's understanding and wisdom with your understanding and wisdom so that they can realize that they have nothing without you. There's no permanent, immortal, eternal life. And so he that holds the permanent, eternal life must be the one, and created everything in the world with it, must be the one that is more wise, more understanding, and full of wisdom and knowledge. So it behooves everyone to listen closely to the things that are going to be said, the Lord you is going to pour out in, on this tape, so that you can realize the life of Christ, the life of the Almighty God, that you can begin living that permanent life here on this earth. Because you must begin living it here in this world. Because when your spirit leaves your body, you're going to judgment. According to God's judgment, you're going to be judged. And we know, we see all these evangelists, Lord, saying that they don't know, it's not their call. I just heard Billy Graham saying that on television the other night on Larry King show. My mouth fell open, because this man is supposed to be a knowledgeable person of your word. He said it's not his call to tell people what your judgments are. He says it's not my judgment. Well, we know that, Billy Graham, but you're supposed to tell people, and, you know, I don't have any respect for you because you don't tell people what God's judgment is. His judgment, if people sin, is that you're going to hell in the lake of fire. And then Larry King asked him if there was a hell. And he said, that's not my call, if there's fiery and so on. And are all these different religions good? And he says, well, of course, all people are beautiful and all this. That is what the Lord says. You know, this is such a diplomatic thing. No wonder the popes like him and different presidents that are creating wars because of the dictates of the pope. No wonder everybody just welcomes him in, because he doesn't offend anyone by preaching the word of God. The people that love to have live sin-living lives rather than the lives, the permanent life of Christ, these people love to cling together because they never offend each other. But what they're doing by not offending each other is you're offending God, because you just don't think it's politically correct to say anything that God says. But that's why God called me. And I'm a very offensive person to satanic people and to the devil. But God loves me, and he'll love you too if you begin preaching the word. And the Bible says, preach the word. So, Father, open their hearts, their minds, their spirits, so that they can learn the word, so that they can preach it. And, Lord, let every soul check me out to see if I'm telling them the truth. I pray that souls will be saved from this broadcast, and that the church will be edified and be brought closer to you, Father, and be filled more with your permanent life, because your word is spirit and is life. Lord, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter from?
From San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas. Praise the Lord. You know, being my name is Alamo, A-L-A-M-O, just like Alamo, the Alamos there in San Antonio. One time, years ago, I tried to buy the Alamo because I thought it would make a real symbolic type church. But it's run by a group, or at least it was back then, of women called the Daughters of the Alamo. And they got extremely upset with me because I wanted to buy it. You can't buy this. This is a national monument. I said, well, you can still use it as a national monument. I just want to have an office here and be able to have services for the Lord. Because after all, the Lord is far more important than your national monument. One of these days, did you know, ladies, that God is going to knock this monument down and the very mountains are going to disappear? And you know, God is far more important than your little, whatever, your money-making place over here is. I said, you can still keep together. I just want to buy this place and run it for the Lord. No, they wouldn't have any of that. Well, anyway, here's a letter from the Alamo City. They used to call it Alamo City. One time I went through there with my, stopped at a gas station, gave him my credit card, and it says, Tony Alamo, are you the native son? I thought it was kind of funny. We had a jolly good laugh at that. Okay, let's go ahead.
Dear Pastor, Today as I came into the parking lot to my car, an Alamo Ministries newsletter was stuck on my car window. I read it when I got home. I found out that I was misinformed about lots of things in our world. I believe that you are a man of God, and it is valuable to all Christians to be rightly informed. I would like to obtain some of these newsletters to pass on to my Christian friends, especially so we will have it straight, all the way, be prepared for the future in decision-making, and to be sure to maintain a deeper dependence on God with prayer especially. This newsletter was dated January-March 2003. It still is of vital importance to me, and I believe it will be to all Christians. My church is non-denominational. Thank you, P.J. from San Antonio, Texas.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's the next one from Africa? What part of Africa?
Nigeria.
All right, go ahead.
Dear sir, Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, blessed be the Lord for the ministry of reconciliation Christ has given to you in order to promote the word of God in the power of salvation at Mokwa, a remote area in Nigeria. I was happy when I received the parcel of Bibles and the bag of literature. Your literature has been so wonderful and touching, transforming souls of people. The literature has helped me a lot in spreading the gospel in my workplace and also at the church I fellowship with, Winter Chapel, and whenever we go out for evangelization in other places. Sir, the word of God is the power unto salvation to him that believes.
Amen.
Frankly, I thank God for using me as a distributor of the Lord's gospel. I was glad for God using me and sending me, for it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
Amen.
Yes, God knows those who are his. Faithfulness is the key to success. Frankly, the issues of how many copies needed, I need the same amount that was sent to me before. I wish you could help me by sending a new or Old Testament Bible for some new Muslim converts in order to enter the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hoping and anticipating to hear from you, sir, I wish we could meet, and I pray to see each other in heaven by his grace. Yours faithfully, R.M. from Nigeria, Africa.
By his grace means by his power. By his power living in us, we're able to keep all the commandments. We're able to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 8 in the book of Romans. Chapter 7 tells, you know, how that by Paul being in the flesh, he wasn't able to, before he was in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he wasn't able to keep the commandments. He said he wanted to do it, but he couldn't. But then he says, who can deliver me from this bondage of wanting to do the right thing but not being able to do so? And then he goes on in chapter, right there, he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus. Then he goes right into chapter 8 saying that, therefore there is no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because when you're walking after the Spirit, when the Spirit, the permanent Spirit of God's life, eternal life enters into you, you become more than a conqueror. Because God is with you, and who could be against you? You become so powerful because of the permanent, powerful Spirit of God inside of you that it's so easy to keep God's commandments, and there's such a strong desire in you from God's permanent Spirit in you that make you want to do it. I mean, it's just such a beautiful thing to know that there's a power from on high that gives you the power to where you're not a weakling anymore. You're no longer a weakling. You're not. Now you're able to do all things in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we can do all things in Christ Jesus. In other words, we can get into heaven. We can make it. And there's so much weakness being preached in this world that people just figure, well, that must be our condition, and we must just hobble along and just do the best we can. And that isn't the way it is, folks. With the powerful, permanent Spirit of God living inside you, the eternal life, you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So always remember that, and don't let anyone tell you anything else. If someone is telling you something else than that, you know that you're hearing right from Satan. That's what it is. All right, now, what else? Now, shall we start reading from the 19th chapter of Acts? Shall we?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Let's. And there's 41 verses there, and you never can tell when the Lord is going to make me take off on something, and so you better just read the translation, because almost everybody's reading their King James Version along with this anyway, so let's go. A lot of people say, well, we believe, I know that our phone room says, we believe only in the King James Version. Well, that is not true, because I believe the original Hebrew writings, the translations were taken off the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Hellenic Greek. And so there are just a few slips. Not in the original Bible, there's no slips, but there is a few just a very minuscule amount in the King James Version, so I say that the King James Version is the most, I'd say it's the best English version, but then there is an Aramaic version that they've translated into English. But anytime you've got a translation, sometimes the translators don't know the Aramaic language well enough, and sometimes the Hellenic Greek translators don't know that Greek well enough, but they come very close. Like, for instance, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, there's a little dot that is the difference between a camel, and you take the dot away and it becomes a rope. So the real translation is, it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Both cases, it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle or a rope. So, you know, it still has basically the same meaning, but in the King James Version, it has Christ on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is a gross mistake. It says, my God, for this cause I have come to die. And Christ stated all the time that he was going to die for the sins of the world. God never forsook him. That would be totally contrary, those words, to the entire Bible. Christ came to die. Even before the foundations of the world, it was decided that Christ would die for the sins of the world, because God, knowing the end of a matter, of everything, at the same time as the beginning, he knew that he would create everything, including man, and take woman out of man, and that she would sin, and that he was going to have to, in order to rescue them from going to hell and the lake of fire, that he would have to come to the world as a man. The Word of God would have to come to the world as a man and die for the sins of the world and shed his blood to give us a second chance to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So he doesn't force us to do that. He gives us a will, and we're given the a choice to choose to go to heaven or choose to go to hell. And that entails either we choose to serve the Lord and believe him. If we do, we go to heaven. And if we just put his word at naught, that it's nothing to us, well, then it's for sure we're not going to heaven. And there's only one other place in the universe for us to go, and that is to the pit of hell, and then when death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. But the spirit, our spirits, our souls never die. It's symbolically called, hell is symbol, and the lake of fire is symbolically called a everlasting death. I mean, you just keep wanting to die and pleading to die, but death never finds you. Your body is dead, but you spend eternity in torment. Now, you know, the Pope said, no, this is just a figment of, this is symbolic meaning, but, you know, I saw by visions, and many people have, I've seen hell. It's not a state of mind or some fictional thing. Do you think I would have left the career, the show business career that I had, just like one second? My whole life was changed, just like the Apostle Paul, when the Lord revealed himself to me. Do you think I had everything going for me in the world? But I immediately came down and stopped show business completely, and I went into the mission field. Went to downtown with Susie. God revealed to me that I was supposed to marry this Susie, my wife, and we did get married. He showed her and me the same, and myself. And then we went totally into the ministry, and 3 years after I was in the ministry, the Lord appeared to me. with my eyes wide open. I was wide awake. And then he showed me, before that, just before I was saved, he showed me hell and heaven. And then I've seen it, I felt the torments of hell, and I heard the people screaming there. And the Bible, when it talks about a lake of fire and people's torments, this is literal. There is a, it's for sure. And people try to say, and even the popes, they try to say that this part of the Bible is not literal. Well, you know, many of us have seen it. And we also have a piece of literature by Bessie. Well, that's what it's all about. Bessie is the Lord took her for a tour of hell. And she left her body and let her come back into her body after she'd been there. And there's so many people, after I've been in the ministry now for 41 years, almost 41 years, in September, I've seen hundreds of people that have had visions of hell, and many people that have had visions of Jesus, and we all have the same report. And so the Word of God is true, and the way you know that is because all the prophecies that the Lord said would be happening in the last days, which included the United Nations, the freeways with the traffic going up and down, it says these horseless carriages would be jostling down the freeways in the last days with the lamps of fire on them, which is the headlights and the taillights. And it's what these different prophets have seen, all these things, and the smog lying down over the cities. The Bible says there'd be vapors of smoke, and that there'd be these mushroom clouds that you see, that blast, atomic bomb blasts, and that there'd be a one-world government, one-world cult, and that Satan would be given a voice, which is the media. And it's all coming from the city of the seven hills, the Bible says, and that's Rome. And so this is the book of Acts that we're reading here, and you, from time to time, if you listen to my tapes reading through the Bible, you're going to hear these different prophecies coming up. Now then, we know the Bible is true is because the Bible says that the Jews should be returned to their homeland just before the Lord comes back to earth again. And that happened in 1947 and 48. And he says at that time the Gentile dispensation would be over with. They sure there's Gentiles that'll be saved, but now God is turning back to us Jews. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, and he stated that we would be the strongest evangelists that ever been, 144,000 of us, the elect. Doesn't mean, and there's millions of you Gentiles that will be saved, and you're not going to be called Gentiles any longer after you're saved, because we all become one in Christ Jesus. We become spiritual Israelites. And so don't feel bad. Just be happy that you're part of the body of Christ, that you're one of the members. Now, the Pope says that he's the only vicar, the only member of Christ's body, that there's no other representative here. But the Bible denies that. The Bible says that there are hundreds of millions of us. And the Lord said that we'd do greater works than he would in the last days, because he was confined to time and space. He was in one human body. But he says, I go away so that he can become the life-giving spirit, the quickening life-giving spirit, or the spirit of life, and he can enter into hundreds of millions of human bodies now. And the greater work that we would do is that we are a greater number of vessels that have the power of God in us. And so we're all over the world now doing, letting Christ do his work in and through us. It's still Christ doing it if we're totally yielded to him. So he says we are his body, the body of Christ, that he works in and through on this side of eternity. And so that means that he's doing more through many of us than he did in one human body then. It's the same work. It's the work of salvation, winning souls. And, of course, every devil in hell, hell is doing everything it can to prevent or to, in an attempt to stop it, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are the body of Christ. And when we come to you, we say, Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, people. Now listen to what we say, because we're not saying anything that isn't in the Bible, and therefore we're going to start reading chapter 19 of the book of Acts. So keep your ears open so that your spiritual eyes can be open. All right, go ahead, Sister Michelle.
Paul's third missionary journey, verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. Verse 2. Quote, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? End quote. He asked them. Quote, no, they replied. We don't know what you mean. We haven't even heard that there is the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so they believed they were saved. And Jesus showed us that there's a difference between being saved with the Spirit of God in you and then receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because after Christ's resurrection, he went in among these frightened brethren, his disciples. They were locked inside, but he walked, came right through the wall. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he blew his breath into them, because his breath is the Holy Spirit. Then he said, 40 days later, he says, for them to tarry in Jerusalem in this upper room, and that they'd be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that plainly shows us that there's two dealings with the Holy Spirit, so far as being completed in the ability to be able to minister or to be in the ministry. You can be saved, but you can't really be in the ministry to minister the gospel. You cannot have that power to endure all the temptations that Satan is going to throw at you. And you're not going to be able to have the outward anointing unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you have the inward anointing. You have the inward life. But the Lord wants us to be in the ministry to partake in spiritual warfare. And the only way that we're able to do that is that we become born again in the Spirit. We become resurrected. First, we're buried with Christ in baptism. Then we water baptism. And then we're resurrected from our dead spiritual life and also the temporal spiritual life. And when the Spirit comes in, we have permanent life, the permanent life of God. He's the only one that has permanent life. And unless he's in us, we don't have it. So we've got to have the permanent life of God, the everlasting or immortal life in us. Then we're resurrected. Then we have to ascend with Christ in heavenly places and sit with him there spiritually so that we can do his work here. And then the Lord has told us, this is all goes along with salvation. Then he called us not to sit around idle, but he called us to reign with him, to have power, dominion, and authority over this world, because this world, the earth, belongs to him. It was taken illegally by lies from Satan. And so he wants, this is the kingdom of Satan here in this world, but he wants us now to tell everybody, my presence is here, the kingdom of heaven is had, and I'm coming here to occupy it with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and we're harmless as the dove. So just believe the gospel. We're not to take over Satan's kingdom with guns, bullets, planes, and tanks, but we are to take it over by preaching, simply preaching the word, a double-edged sword, the most powerful weapon in the world, the word of God. And it's so powerful, that's why Satan is doing everything in his power to try to destroy it and to destroy those that carry the word of God. But it won't work. The Bible, if you read it, says that we win. Christ has already destroyed the works of Satan, and so we have to be confident in that he's done that and believe the Lord and cast all of our cares upon him because he cares about us. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so then when we're reigning with him and we have power and authority, that means we have to war. We have to be involved with spiritual warfare. Because we're in a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And we're involved in it very much so. It's one kingdom against the other. Now, the kingdom of Satan is a lie, but the kingdom of God is the truth, and the truth always wins over the lies. And then in spiritual warfare, We must be filled with the fullness of the stature of Christ. And the more that we are, the more we're going to be able to win over our enemies. God said he gave us power, dominion, and authority over the devil, over the serpent, over sickness, disease, infirmities. He's given us power and dominion over death, hell, and the grave. He's given us the power within us to have power over ourselves, to be able to discipline ourselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power within us to over our flesh, over our ideas, our opinions, and all the other weaknesses of our mind. He's given us power to live a powerful life of Christ, that we can have the mind of Christ, and that we can do all things in Christ Jesus. So the bottom line is the fullness of the stature of Christ, to be armed with the Word of God and armored with the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit in this life, so get it and open up your ears again. Now let's go into the next verse.
Verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience? End quote, he asked. They replied, quote, the baptism of John.
Okay, that's the baptism of John, but the Paul John says, I baptize you with water, but there comes one whose sandals I'm not worthy to latch it, and he shall baptize you, and he's talking about Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and you shall have power after you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that was water baptism, and then Jesus came and blew the breath of life into them. Remember that Jesus said that Peter wasn't even converted until he saw him raised from the dead, come through the wall, blow the breath of life into him, eternal life, permanent life. And then, finally, on the day of Pentecost, he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, so many people don't know really the Bible to be able to put all these loose ends together, but God has called me to define the Bible for you. That's why it's real important for you to listen to these broadcasts on a daily basis and look at the website and to order these tapes. There is no charge for them. God gave me salvation free of charge, and it's free of charge to you. I wouldn't dare charge you anything for tapes or Bibles or any of my literature. It's all free. I have a lot of people tell me, well, you know, they won't value it that much if you don't charge them something. And I said, there's a lot of poverty-stricken people in this world, and they need the gospel, and I'm not going to charge them. God never charged me anything. He's blessed me, and I'm sure he'll bless all of you if you just receive this literature. And I just pray that you'll become distributors and that you'll be concerned not only for your own soul, but that you will have concern for the other souls in this world, because the Lord is coming back, and the world without Christ is on its way to hell. All right, let's go now. What verse are we on, anyway?
4.
See, I told you the Lord is liable to have me take off here on something. All right, let's read verse 4.
Paul said, quote, John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and turn to God. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one John said would come later, end quote. Verse 5, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. They were just baptizing in John's baptism before.
You know, because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said he's the Father, and he says he's the quickening spirit, the life-giving spirit. And he's also the Son of God, the image of God, the likeness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible states that there isn't anything that was made that was not made by Jesus. The heavens and the earth were made by him. Well, how can you say that? Because the name of Jesus is the Word of God. And he said that he created everything with his Word. And the Bible plainly states that it was Jesus, the Word of God, that created everything. Because Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. Without Jesus, God doesn't have any wisdom and power. Because Christ is the wisdom and power. Then Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to me. So obviously, he's the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
He's the power of God also unto salvation, to those that believe. If you don't believe that Jesus is God and the power of God and the wisdom of God, then you can't be saved. Because how could you deny the one that has eternal life, permanent life, and expect to have it? If you believe that Jesus is the permanent life, the eternal life, the immortal life, and that your temporal life, and you invite him in, then you have Jesus, and you have eternal life and permanent life. Everybody gets a fair shot at this. It's just believe. Because of the fact that Eve believed Satan, then if you believe Satan, then he says, here, go with Satan, and receive all these curses and everything that Satan gives you, if you want him to be the one you believe. But if you believe in me, then I give you everything. Everything in the universe. As a matter of fact, I make you heirs and joint heirs with everything in the universe for your belief in me, the Word of God. How could you believe in anything so weak and beggarly as the lies that Satan tells you? Can't do anything but lie. Satan is a liar, the father of it. Even if you put a machine gun at his head, he couldn't tell the truth. He probably might want to, but he can't. But we know that the Bible says that he doesn't want to. He can't tell the truth. But the Lord is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue.
Verse 6. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Verse 7.
And they had power then. They had power to be in the ministry. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have no power to be in the ministry. You don't have any real power to abstain from sin. That's why you get all these promise keepers. They now join with the Catholic Church and the cult, rather. And they're involved with them very deeply. And they say when they come into town that they buy more booze and are involved with every kind of filth and everything under the sun. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. There were about 12 men in all. Paul ministers to the people in Ephesus. Verse 8. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Verse 9.
See, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. But some rejected his message and publicly spoke against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he began...
They spoke against the way. In other words, Christ. Who is the way?
Christ.
Christ is the way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the permanent, eternal, immortal life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Okay, then what?
Then he began preaching daily at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Verse 10. This went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the Lord's message. Verse 11.
Well, that's wonderful for people to hear the Lord's message. That's real mercy. That's real love, is to let people hear the truth. Now, the government, the world government, the Antichrist government that the Lord said would be occurring in the last days, which is the government we now see, they hate it when you hear the gospel, because this is, the Bible says that this government, this cult, the media, is all empowered by Satan. So, just as the body of Christ is a body of people, a corporate body of millions of people, so also is the corporate body of Antichrist. Antichrist is a huge body of people, and its headquarters is in Rome, Italy, the city of the Seven Hills. Now, you want to go to Rome, just go to the ticket, or to the where you purchase the tickets and ask them for a ticket to the city of the Seven Hills or mountains. You don't even have to say Rome. And they'll get right out to Rome, Italy. And the Bible says that's where Satan's seat is. That's where his headquarters are. Okay? Then what?
Verse 11.
Well, now the Bible says there'll be a big falling away from Christians, and that Satan sit down in the temple of God. Well, we are the temple of God, and so you have to be careful, because that false teaching that you've heard from all these different denominations that once saved, always saved. Here the Bible says that a bunch of you people that are out there calling yourselves Christians are going to allow Satan to sit down in the temple of God, which is you. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that you're not your own? Ye are the temple of God. And if anyone destroys the temple or commits suicide or does anything that you destroy the temple, like it's taking drugs or booze or anything, God says, I'll destroy you. So the Bible says that this spirit of Satan would come down and sit in the temple of God. There'd be a great falling away by Satan coming and sitting in the temple of God saying that he's God. So what they're saying now is that Satan's doctrine is God, that the Antichrist is God. They've fallen away, and Satan has disguised it to where it looks like a great big revival, but all these people, you see them, millions of them on television waving their hands back and forth and saying hallelujah and all this sort of thing. And yet Benny Hinn says he's a Catholic. That's the Antichrist cult. Jan and Paul Krause say the same thing. The man at the Crystal Cathedral says that he's a Catholic. They say they are to the in crowd, but they will not admit it readily all the time to the general public. They're pretending that they're Christians, but really not. They're Catholics are not Christians. They're the biggest enemy of Christianity that ever was. They're the ones that burned Christians at the stake, and they also fed them to the lions, and they're the ones that nailed Christ to the cross, the Roman soldiers, Roman Catholics. And so you have to be very careful that you're not involved with that cult, because if you are, it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And what you're doing is letting Satan come into you and saying that, let him say that he, the Vatican, or the Pope, is God. And you know, there's the Pope says he's God, but there's another person that said in the Bible that he's God too. Satan said, I would be like the Most High God. I will ascend above the clouds, and so on and so forth. Now, the true body of Christ, who is God's representative here on earth, is hundreds of millions of Christians in whom Christ lives, not one pompous maniac that says he's God and God's vicar. Never in the Bible does it say it's one man. The only one man was Christ. And then when he went on, he says, I have to go away in order to expand my body, which is you people, and that way I'll be able to do more work, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast. And so don't let any man, the Bible says, when he says he's out on the desert, believe him not. It says that he'll say, here, there's a God over here on earth, or Christ. He says, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Jesus said, behold, I come with clouds, and every eye shall see me. I'm coming from the sky. Don't believe any of these people that say, Jesus is over here, or Jesus is over there. Yes, we, the corporate body of Christ, are the ones who really are God's representative here on earth. But we never say that we ourselves are God or that we are Jesus. We just say we're members of Jesus' body. But don't you know that these people say that he is the Holy Father, the God Almighty on earth? Listen, you, believe them not, Jesus said. Believe them. Behold, again, I come in clouds, and every eye shall see me. And the people of the world will mourn and cry and weep that are not born again of the Spirit or part of his body. They'll be crying and pleading and begging for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, which is Christ. No, Christ is not on earth yet. And these people that claim to be vicars or Christ or God Almighty are not liars. The Lord said they are not the God or Jesus. Jesus said, believe them not. They're liars. All right?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
They lie. And if you believe the lie, then that means that Satan is sent down in you, and you're calling, you're saying that you're letting him say that he is God rather than the Lord. No, let Christ come into you and separate yourself from all these false prophets and all these false religions. You like your Billy Grahams and your Rex Humbards and all these people say that all religions are good. God, the Bible, condemns every single one of them by saying religion is of the devil. salvation is only of the Lord. They're trying to make Mary the mediator between you and God. But the Bible says there's only one mediator between you and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Mary is not a deity. All she was an incubator that brought forth the actual Son of God. And she's just a woman. Even Christ called her woman. Woman. All right, now let's go back into the scriptures. I pray that this broadcast has made sense to you. So the Bible says you must love his word or he'll send you strong delusion to make you believe a lie that your souls might be damned. And if your souls are damned, that means you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Anyone that says any part of the Bible is false is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They're calling God a liar. And let me tell you something. The Lord says, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. All right, let's go.
Verse 11. God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles. Verse 12. So that even when handkerchiefs or clothing that had touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and any evil spirits that were in them were cast out. Verse 13. A team of Jews who were traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation they used was this, quote, I command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out, exclamation point, end quote. Verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. Verse 15, when they tried it on a man possessed by an evil spirit, the spirit replied, quote, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Verse 16, and he leaped on them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and badly injured. Verse 17, the story of what had happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. Some fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Verse 18, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. Verse 19, a number of them who had been practicing magic brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. Verse 20, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. The riot in Ephesus. Verse 21, afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before returning to... After that, unquote, he said, quote, I must go on to Rome, exclamation point, end quote. Verse 22. He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, on ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. Verse 23. But about that time, serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. Verse 24. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith, who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. Verse 25, he called the craftsmen together along with others employed in related trades and addressed them as follows, quote, gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from this business. 26, as you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't gods at all. And this is happening not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province, exclamation point. 27. Of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence, and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess, worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her prestige, exclamation point, end quote. 28. At this their anger boiled, and they began shouting, quote, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, exclamation point, end quote. 29. A crowd began to gather, and soon the city was filled with confusion. Everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Verse 30. Paul wanted to go in, but the believers wouldn't let him. Verse 31. Some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, also sent a message to him begging him not to risk his life by entering the amphitheater. Verse 32. Inside, the people were all shouting, some one thing and some another. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. 33. Alexander was thrust forward by some of the Jews who encouraged him to explain the situation. He motioned for silence and tried to speak in defense. Verse 34. But when the crowd realized he was a Jew, they started shouting again and kept it up for 2 hours. Quote, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Exclamation point. End quote. Verse 35. At last the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to speak. Quote, "Citizens of Ephesus," end quote, he said. Quote, "Everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven." 36. "Since this is an indisputable fact, you shouldn't be disturbed no matter what is said. Don't do anything rash." 37. "You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple and have not spoken against our goddess." 38. If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session and the judges can take the case at once. Let me go through legal channels. 39. And if there are complaints about other matters, they can be settled in a legal assembly as well. 40. I'm afraid we are in danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government, since there is no cause for all this commotion. And if Rome demands an explanation, we won't know what to say." End quote. 41. Then he dismissed them, and they dispersed.
All right, now the commentary. 4, chapter 19 of the book of Acts.
Here is an outline of Apollos. Apollos was a Jewish Bible teacher and skilled orator, speaker from Alexandria. He had heard about John the Baptist's message concerning the coming of the Messiah. Because he had studied the scriptures seriously, he knew John's message was true. Apollos traveled north to Ephesus, preaching the message of God's kingdom and zealously debating the skeptics. Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos preach in Ephesus. They were two devoted followers of Christ who had been greatly impacted by Paul's ministry. Although they appreciated his zeal, they discerned that he didn't have a complete knowledge of the scriptures. So they took him aside and more fully explained the truth about Jesus Christ, the salvation he brought, and the Holy Spirit who indwelt and empowered believers for the ministry. For the first time, Apollos was able to put it all together. With this new understanding, Apollos went to minister in the city of Corinth. His ministry was so effective that Paul had to warn the believers there to keep their eyes on Christ rather than on Apollos or himself. Apollos continued to travel and speak throughout Greece. Paul appreciated him so much that he encouraged Titus to support Apollos as much as possible. The story of Apollos demonstrates the tremendous value of wise counsel in our lives. Unfortunately, the counsel many seek lacks true spiritual insight. Some of us stumble through life with a very limited view of the love and power available to us in Jesus Christ. The more we are exposed to the truth through wise counsel, the more we will fully comprehend Christ's work on our behalf.
And we'll comprehend Christ because Christ, again, is the Word of God. And the more you know the Scriptures, the more you're able to understand or comprehend who He is. And the more you're going to be able to love the Lord, because you can't love somebody you don't know. There are people that lust after different women, and women lust after different men, but they don't really know them. When they like the way they look, but you need to live with them for a while. Once some people get married and they live with them a while, they hate them. It's like they have a man on television today that was very prestigious, had a lot of respect in his community, and he's bragging about and telling very methodically how he killed, strangled all kinds of women to death. Well, the more you read Christ, that's how you get to know him. And the more you do that, the more you're going to understand him, the more you're going to love him. Okay, so continue on.
As this occurs, we can analyze the healing nature of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and become better equipped to minister to others in need.
Right, and the more you know the Lord, the more He ministers to you and makes you strong so that you are able to minister more to others. Without letting the Lord minister to you, you don't have any spiritual strength. So let Him minister to you, listen to what He has to say, And grasp it because it's your very life. Okay, then what?
Chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. The people in Ephesus were in bondage to their fear of the spiritual realm, and the seven sons of Sceva made their living by promoting those fears. When they were confronted by a real demon, however, these men were powerless. But the demon recognized the authority of Jesus Christ and Paul because they were representatives of God himself. When the people heard this story that proved God's sovereignty over the demonic realm, they were filled with a real, good, healthy fear of Jesus Christ and his true representatives. Like the evil spirits, some people's compulsions and addictions are more powerful than they are. It's for sure we need God's power, the Holy Spirit in us, to work in and through our life, because no other power is able to overcome your destructive habits and sustain you in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Well, all of our destructive habits. I mean, I know that as I study the Word more and more and more, that I become more and more powerful spiritually, so that I'm not at all tempted by anything that is destructive. No more things that are causing me to lean on any crutch or of addiction at all in this world. All I need is Jesus, and that's all you need as well. Okay, then what else? All right, now that was now let's do part 12 of spiritual warfare.
Even all of our prayers are spiritual warfare, whether they be for ourselves or for our families or for revival of the church or for anyone, anything else, for the lost souls out in the world, for the purpose of delivering the people of the world and us out of the satanic power of darkness.
See, reading the Bible is spiritual warfare, and then telling what you know of the Lord is spiritual warfare because you're edifying the church. Preaching the gospel of spiritual warfare because it's cutting into the darkness of the mind and the spirit, the soul of the person that you're witnessing to, and edifying the church. Even though people are saved, they need to have edification. My entire church is edified every time I bring one of these messages, and I get letters from all over the world stating that they're edified as well, and that they were made. They were born again of the Spirit from listening to them, and they were also edified and made stronger, and gave them a zeal to want to distribute the literature and the tapes everywhere in their country. Then what?
Therefore, our prayers are also spiritual warfare.
Yes, when we pray, I mean, God can do more in one second than we can do in all the rest of our life. You pray for something that. Some of the problems that you've seen in the world today, God put an end to this abortion, put an end to the murder, and put an end to this lawless society, because they're allowing people to get on and brag how many people they killed, and they say, well, in this state we don't allow him to be put to death. Well, this is creating a lawless society. The Bible says that the law is for the lawless. And he said, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came here to fulfill it, to enforce it and fulfill it. And so, of course, man in his insanity, he has no wisdom. They think, well, let's be kind to criminals and let's send the born-again Christians that are winning people's souls to the Lord, let's send them to prison, or let's kill them. Let's go into Waco and slaughter them. Let's go over to Jonestown and kill all those people and say they drank Kool-Aid. And the media is, you know, they're on every day, 24 hours a day, saying that, oh, yes, they committed suicide, when we know that people have escaped from Jonestown and came to our church terrified, saying it was the government came in there and killed them all. They did not drink Kool-Aid. Okay, so it's, of course, you have to either believe the Lord or you have to believe the Antichrist. His mouth, which is the media at large, and the cult from Rome, and the government that enforces all the diabolical evils that this cult in Rome is doing. It's the spirit of Satan, the Bible says, that is controlling all this. And they call themselves government, and that they want you to be patriotic to Satan. But I'm patriotic to good. You know, if we're doing good here in the United States and we're honoring God, then I'm patriotic to that kind of a country. But if it's a country that says Satan is God, I despise you, and I'm not. I'm saying to you, go to hell, like the Bible says. Repent or go to hell, the Lord says. They're saying to hell with the U.S. Constitution, the Roman Empire over there does. I say to hell with the Roman Catholic cult. I say to hell with their evil doctrines, and to hell with them that say to hell with the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom. They're taking all people's freedoms away. They are even saying that you don't even own your own children. We know that God owns them, but the Lord has given them to us to raise, not this Antichrist government or a bunch of homosexuals. And if Billy Graham is not going to be man enough to say that homosexuality is God hates that, well, then I'm going to say it, because God hates it. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, and he stated in the New Testament, the first chapter of Romans, that these people are worthy to be put to death. And I'm not going to apologize for the Word of God, because the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it. Now, you homosexuals, you should be thankful that there's somebody telling you the truth so that you can repent before the Lord comes down here and throws your souls into hell. Now, this is real love. It's the keeping of God's commandments and preaching the truth to you. Of course, all these demons that are telling you that it's just you were born that way and all this junk, they don't care about your soul, because if you continue on in homosexuality, or for that matter, anybody out there in any sin, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So otherwise, you're just letting Satan sit down in you, what is supposed to be the temple of God, your body, and you're just going to go right to the end, stubborn, and you're going to see, you're going to curse yourself eternally for not listening to the Word of God, whether it be through me or some other minister. Okay, go ahead.
If our eyes have been opened by the Lord, you will be able to see that the nature of your work in serving the Lord is that of spiritual warfare. All our spiritual work, whether it be delivering the people of the world from sin unto salvation, and delivering them from the world, from sickness, illness, disease, infirmities, or from problems, has an ultimate goal: to rescue everyone out of the power of Satan and drive out the satanic power of darkness from within men, women, and children, so that they might be gained more and more by God. Thus God's name will be hallowed, sanctified in human beings. God's kingdom will reach into men. His will shall be done in human beings, and thereby his glory will be manifested upon men, everyone in this world that gets saved. Therefore, the nature of all this work is the work of spiritual warfare.
Praise the Lord. So we must be, if we're really going to be of the Lord, he called us to take power and dominion and authority over Satan, and to come back and take this world over by the preaching of the gospel. And so if you're not doing that, well, you're not really completing the purpose that the Lord saved you for. And so let's get busy, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get busy, brothers and sisters. All right, that was Acts chapter 19 with 41 verses, translation and commentary, and also part 12 of Spiritual Warfare. You heard a couple of letters, one from the Alamo in Texas, or Alamo City, which is San Antonio, and one from Africa. And until tomorrow, we'll be doing chapter 20 of the book of Acts, God willing, and also part 13 of Spiritual Warfare. This is your pastor, Tony Alamo, saying keep your eyes upon the Word of God. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the Word of God, and meditate on these things at all times, and pray without ceasing. God bless you, and praise the Lord.